If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light of the all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks, or Closet Christs. This evening our seminar topic is the mirrors of our life. So if you're ready to look into the mirror and the many mirrors of your own beingness, let's take a deep breath as you align all of the levels of your multidimensional, omnipresent extensions of being, awareness, and bliss throughout the entire holographic universes without end. Truly, there is no place where you are not. Your truth is omnipresent. Your awareness is omniscient. And your true state is unlimited peace and what we call Ananda, which is not a state of euphoria or connected to any emotion. It is seeing the all that is as your own self. It is the state of equanimity, called in Sanskrit Nirvi Kalpa Samadhi. Nirvi Kalpa means the state of clear-mindedness beyond all agitation, where the mind has expanded to pure spacious clarity with no definition and no limitation. And it is the seeing of all in the all that you see. It is not a state that you are trying to attain. It is not something that you become, even though that would be the implication that almost every spiritual path gives. The idea that you are a seeker and are aspiring to attain a state different and separate from what you truly are. And that keeps many people wasting time in becoming that which merely needs to be uncovered. And we're in the time of the great unveiling, the great uncovering, which is what the Greek term apocalypsis means. We are in the age of the great illumination, the great revelation, the great uncovering of that substratum of reality and truth. That is our true state. always. It could only have seemed to have been lost in a dream. And it is in the awakening to that state that the dream simply dissolves. The awakening itself to who you are dissolves every vestige of pain, doubt, fear, suffering, anguish, and all of the appearances that are born of those states of deception and delusion, which I'll picture as global conflicts of all kinds. These are all the mental projections within the dream of that which is now being uncovered, or rather that which has covered and kept you from seeing the reality which is now being uncovered. That which has darkened the vision is what we call the ego mind, or the fallen mind, or the nightmare into which we have seemingly fallen asleep. I don't speak much about the world condition and the things that go on in the third dimensional sky and the things that go on within the dream figures that are enacting their karmic scenarios, because the purpose that I've been called to bring to your attention is your true state beyond the dream, beyond the agitations of the mind, to lead you into your own state of clear, divine, pure awareness so that you can exit the dream of polarization and duality and revel in the divine ecstasy of the limitless light and sound and awareness of your eternal state. You have not lost it. How can you lose yourself? It is only hidden by a viewpoint, and that is easily changed. So we're going to begin tonight with a soul travel experience, which is simply to change your point of view. Every time you change your point of view, your viewpoint changes. So we make a big deal sometimes out of soul travel and astral projection and inner guidance meditations, inner imagery, but it's just changing your point of view. For example, you could be listening to me right now with part of your mind, and the other part is thinking, I wonder if my dinner is burning in the oven. So you're actually standing in front of the oven looking to see if your dinner is burning. Or you may be waiting for your girlfriend or boyfriend to call. And so you're not actually sitting here listening to me. You're actually sitting in your mind watching that phone, waiting for the knock on the door, or whatever. Or you could be sitting in Los Angeles, California, but your mind is off in Paris, or perhaps it's in the Himalayas, or perhaps it's with a dear friend on the other side of the country. You catch my drift? You are not where your body is. You are where your focus is. And within the limitations of the third dimensional mind that comes with this issued equipment of a third density body, you can only hold one thing in your mind at a time. despite the claims to multitasking, in highest truth, you can only give quality attention and full presence to the present moment. So multitasking is not multidimensional awareness. It's actually a scattered mental state that requires disciplining and training to enable it to hold a consistent focus long enough for full manifestation to occur. Full manifestation can occur only out of presence. We spoke about presence last week. Presence is when you are present in awareness. Presence is when you, as a spiritual essence, are fully present in awareness. So the mirrors of our life, we need to understand, are showing us where we are focused. They are showing us the contents of our mind. So we're going to take a little change of viewpoint now. So call forward your own spiritual lineage to which you work and serve, that you are aligned to, your masters, angels, teachers, guides, benefactors, well-wishers, mentors, etc. And ask for the protection, however you do that. And now, see yourself in one of the halls of learning within the inner planes. You can imagine it as a room. And this is a familiar room because every single disciple, every person who is being trained in inner awareness or clairvoyance or actually just about any of the visual giftings that come with awareness, we are trained in this particular room, which is called the room of the mirrors of life. It's within the brother and sisterhood. Later, perhaps in another show, I will take you into the area where it actually is located. But for now, just see yourself in this room. And you're standing in front of a very large and ornate mirror. It's much larger than your body. And it's very wide. And I want you to look at your image in that mirror. It's going to show you something that you need to see, so I'm not going to suggest what you might see at this time. First impressions. You see what you see. And make a mental note that you will remember what you were shown. Enough said for that for the moment. You can visit that room just as simply anytime you wish. Just put yourself there in front of a mirror. And look, as simple as that, that's the whole secret of soul travel, is you put yourself where you want to look, be, study, experience, review. Very simple. We give you each week very simple practices that are involved with your daily experiential reality right now. That's because most of us have had lifetimes of training in the ashrams and monasteries and within the brother and sisterhood of light and with the various avatars and masters of previous times. We have tremendous awareness within our chalice, which hopefully with each seminar that we do is stirred and brought to the surface so that you can recognize it. One of the most important things that you can do for yourself is take the time to look at yourself. Go in front of that mirror and look. You can see your past lives. You can see the timeline. You can see the future, because everything's already been done and exercised in the quantum universe. So you can run down and look at the different probable parallel lifetime scenarios, which are also occurring at the same time. You can quantum leap into another dimension, into another self, as long as you stay objective and just watch it. Don't get sucked into it. Just watch it. You can see what it's like on Venus or Mars or any place you want to look. You can travel to the temples of golden wisdom on the various dimensional planes. You can put yourself on a mothership with Ashtar and the Galactic Command. It's all a matter of shifting your focus and seeing yourself there. It's as simple as that. It's not any more complicated than that. That's it. You shift your focus. What sometimes happens is that you doubt yourself. You got to quit that. That's what blocks you, is your own self-doubt. It's a law of the universe that you are where you are. And you are where your focus is. So take time to know yourself. You're going to only know God and the secrets of the universe as you know yourself. You cannot know anyone unless you have become one with them. You have to be in the same resonant frequency of consciousness to know something. So obviously, you can't know anything truly out of the separative ego mind, which only projects difference and separation. You can only know by becoming one with whatever it is that you would look at. So that's why every moment of your life is a meditation and an opportunity to pierce through the illusion of the outer appearance to the truth of the abiding inner oneness that you share with all things. There is not a single thing in existence that does not have God in it, God consciousness. Everything is alive, sentient, and can feel pain and joy. Everything can feel sorrow. Everything can experience joy. Everything from a rock to a plant, a tree, an animal, a fish, a bird, a human, a demigod, a god or goddess, and so on. And all of those appearances, in all of them you will find your own self. There is nothing that does not contain you. There is nothing that is not filled with God essence. That God essence is light. That light is awareness.
That awareness is truth. That truth is immortal life. They're all one and the same. So we need to understand where we are focused if we're ever going to awaken beyond the limited focus that most live in now. So we can begin by paying attention to what we give our attention to. We become what we continually focus our attention upon. Literally, you become what you continually focus your attention upon. Your mind is what gives form and content to your experiential life. Only your mind gives form and content to your third dimensional experiential life. So our life presents each one of us with experiences and encounters which mirror our state of consciousness. Isn't that amazing? Our life presents each one of us with experiences and encounters which mirror our state of consciousness. So we but see the contents of our mind. The contents of our mind is reflected back to us in what we tend to notice, what we tend to see in the people and things around us every day. That's showing you where your consciousness is parked. It's showing you your default settings of vision. So basically, we notice what we are. We notice what we've experienced and known and realized. We notice what has been known to us and is familiar. And likewise, when we fear and have an aversion or strong dislike to something or someone, it is also because it was known and experienced before and is thus familiar to us. So what do you notice a lot each day? What do you fear or have a strong aversion to? And the same is true of strong attraction to certain things or people or cultures or lifestyles and so forth. These were known to us before and gave rise to pleasure and happiness in our past. So what are you the most attracted and drawn to and towards? These are really good contemplations. If you meditate on seed thoughts like this, your mind is not going to wander, I'll guarantee you. It will be so intensely interesting. Contemplate on these things. What do you notice a lot each day? What do you fear and have aversion to? What are you most attracted and drawn to? What are the mirrors in your daily life showing you? You know, an angry person tends to notice angry people. A loving person tends to notice loving people. It's like that. Simple. But few of us ever question these likes and dislikes, these attractions and aversions, and yet these are the very karmic traces that keep us bound in the realms of duality and polarization. These are your chains. Both the aversion and the attraction, they're both chains. So So from life to life, we swing like a pendulum from one polarity to the next, one extreme to its opposite, back and forth. And this is the karmic state nearly every person on Earth is trapped in. You know, now with social media and global internet, there is no end to the appeals that are made for one to espouse this or that campaign or cause. We are continually being bombarded with petitions to oppose, fight against, protest, or adopt some polarized stance. That's the ego's plan to keep you trapped in duality, karma, reincarnation. That's the game of the ego. And that is what has held the old paradigm in place. War and you can't even say peace. There's no peace. Pauses between wars, I guess, would be more appropriate. So I like to call this as the cult's ego, the ego's cult, the cult's ego and the ego's cult of againstness. For to even enter into polarization, one must take sides against the other, whatever that other is, which also implies judgment has been made. So judging, opposing, taking a polarized stance against whatever or whomever is like a karmic ticket guaranteeing a return in the future as whatever thing or condition one has opposed. And that's the thing, you see, the lords of karma, the karmic law, karmic justice requires experiencing both sides and conditions. When you're stuck in that polarized state of consciousness, you know, whatever you hate and are intolerant towards, you can just be sure that will be coming up in your future. It's interesting because the duality is reflected in how the body sees, because we have two eyes, and the body hears, we have two ears, we have two genders, and it's interesting because we also have an inner eye, which is formed by the overlapping of the pineal and pituitary auric fields, which form an overlapping, or a vesica Pisces, which forms then, in sacred geometry, an inner circle with the overlapping of the pineal and pituitary auras. And that inner circle that's formed by the overlapping of these two spheres is the third eye. It's not actually the Ajna center. It's actually formed by the overlapping of the pineal and pituitary, or life force and consciousness, or intention, or soul awareness. There's many ways you can describe it. And that's why when you go into the state of soul awareness, you will see that eye, and you go through it. Likewise, we have two ears. It is said, quote, quote, that you hear the teachings of the positive line of masters in the right ear and the lords of karma and negativity in the left ear. But when you want to go home to God, you have to learn to hear with the inner ear, which again is an inner aperture between the two ears, which enables you to enter the sound current. And the sound current is the voice of God, literally. It is the sound of God that you ride home by listening to it. And likewise, the single eye enables you to enter into the clear light of the soul. So you need the light and the sound if you're going to go home. And it's not in either eye or either ear. It's right in the center. You always see this triangulation that takes place as the exit point for and out of duality. Then you have the two genders. There's a cryptic statement in the Gospel of Thomas. I don't have the quote in front of me, but if I can remember it, the part that catches a lot of people is that to be liberated, the two sexes have to become one. And what that means is that there's no male or female in spirit. There is function. There's the receiving and the transmitting. There's the Shakti and the Shiva, or Prakriti and Purusha. But basically, they're one, and they're defined by function, not by genitals. So the two sexes become one when you transcend the polarized positioning of male and female self-labeling and self-definition, and you move to the neutral point of soul. The soul has no gender or spirit or Atma. And likewise, we anthropomorphize God, call God Father, Mother, God, but actually in highest truth, that also is an invention of the ego. There's just the Atma. Sat, Chit, Ananda. No definition. Beyond name, beyond form. Beyond anything that you could conceptualize, conceive, or describe. It is simply that which is. And then you have the two paths. You have the left-hand path and the right-hand path. The left-hand path is the path of the dark adepts, the lords of the shadow, or the lords of form. Or we could call it the path of the ego. And then you have the right-hand path, which is the path of the masters of light, the positive forces of light. But they're also polarized, aren't they? That's why in the lower realms you have the good guys duking it out with the bad guys. All of these battle scenarios and galactic battles and things, they take place in the lower realms of illusion. That's why I don't speak about them. This is all, play acting. But right through the middle is another path. Jesus referred to it as the way, or the Shariat, or the Shariat key, Sugmad, which is simply the way of the eternal. And that is the way of the travelers of light and sound. So light, again, is a polarization, and with light, you'll have the darkness of the lords of the shadow. But when you work with a mystical traveler consciousness, it's not polarized. It weaves in through all things. And it's present in all things. It's the way between. It's the middle path. The mystical traveler consciousness is omniversal, present everywhere on every dimension, every plane of consciousness, in every kingdom of nature. But when it enters and works on the earth, it has to come in through the Christ. It has to come in through the Christ. And that's why we say that our lineage comes in through the office of the Christ and the order of Melchizedek. But it is the traveler lineage that we're speaking of. And that is the path beyond the psychic and material realms that are governed by karma, reincarnation, and polarity and duality. So that path is the path of grace. So when we speak of divine grace transcending the law of karma and reincarnation, that's what we're talking about. Getting on the Christ way, also called the radiant way. And that's why the Christ is the way, the truth, and the life eternal, because it doesn't go down into the realms of illusion, which includes death. That's the path where you go into the pure light and the pure sound, and you transcend the form and the name, and you go into the all that is, or the that which is. So we're speaking of something that has a duality and a polarization only in the realms of, let's call them the realms of testing and trial and experience and karma, cause and effect, recycling, you know, going through repeated embodiments until you finally bring a balance or find a traveler. It's a long time if you're going to try to find a balance, because everything is stacked against you here. It's all designed to keep you out of balance so that you'll keep reincarnating. But if you find a traveler and you stay connected to that traveler will take you home. And before you encounter a traveler in the physical, which is important, I've been given to understand, you can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to take you home, because he will take you all the way through the realms of polarization and duality. And he will lead you to a traveler if it's your time to awaken fully, which it is for many of you, particularly those of you who are drawn to listen to these seminars, because that's what I'm all about. So, this is a very profound teaching I want to share with you now. I awakened with this from a direct experience on the inner planes. So this is out of my own experience, which again makes it very potent. And I was shown that all sounds, beings, and occurrences are manifestations of our own state of consciousness. All sounds, all beings, and every occurrence is simply a manifestation of our state of consciousness. That's why you can take a whole group of people that represent all different states of consciousness and tell them how they experience their life, how they experience the world, what is the reality of their daily existence, and you'll get a different worldview from every one of them, a different state of mind, a different state of consciousness. Only when you talk to a God-realized mystic do you hear the same answer. That's why when you read the writings of all profound self and God-realized men and women, all mystics speak the same language. Doesn't matter what their religious path was or how they attained that level of God realization, they all talk the same. That's why a mystic can always recognize another mystic. A God-realized person can always recognize another God-realized person. They speak the same language. So again, you go beyond the many, the duality, the polarization, the different religious perspectives and points of view, to the unified field of the One. when you fully awaken. So, you know, a God-realized Christian, mystic, could sit next to the Dalai Lama or one of the other great realized souls, Buddhist or Hindu or a Muslim or a Sufi or a Sikh or a Zen master. It doesn't matter. If they're God realized, they're going to speak the same language. They're all religious squabbles end. Only people who are still caught up in the mind argue about religion and politics. So just exit the company of people who are arguing about religion and politics, because you know that they're in the deluded state of ignorant mind, ego mind. So all sounds, beings, and occurrences are manifestations of our own state of consciousness. And each serves as a reminder, a call to exercise awareness as to what will be evoked. The conditioned reflexes of the ego, or we could call it the state of unconsciousness or ignorance, is evoked, or presence and pure awareness is evoked. And that's a choice that we each have, because again, we're in the realm of duality where choice seems like an option. It can only be an option in an illusion, but nevertheless, it presents an option. Is the false self going to respond, or is the presence, the divine true presence, going to come forward in response to whatever it is you're encountering? And the question is, will awareness arise this time? Or will we enact another dream episode and become lost in self-definition? You know, as long as a labeled sense of self arises, we're lost in a dream episode. Every label we attach to our limitless beingness is like a heavy anchor. Each label we attach to our limitlessness, beingness, and presence holds us in bondage and suffering. It is like the past reasserting itself as an old pattern of identity. And it is the familiar prison cell in which we find security, for it is what we've known. So each person is like a mirror in which we review our dream characters. One by one, they show us our past labels. They appear now to show us where we are today. Now, right this minute. Can we see the one divine self today? Can we see it in this moment? Can we see the truth from clear awareness? Or just repeat the dream. Be aware the voice that's speaking to you is your own. The truth, if that's what you're hearing, is your own recognition and awareness. So sounds, conditions, situations are all manifestations of our own self, the one self showing us where we've been. Yes, because you can't label a sound or a condition or a situation unless you've already experienced it. So every time you think you know what's going on, it's because you've been there, done that, and you're seeing the past. There is no revelation in the past. That's why it said there's nothing new under the sun. That's why the divine spirit, the Atma, speaks through revelation. And that's why the truly God realized are silent. Because because there's not going to be anyone here that's going to be able to benefit by genuine divine revelation unless they are God realized. So we recognize these things only because we've already labeled them and they are familiar and we believe we know them. And yet we know nothing of them in actuality, but are simply reviewing our past experiences, our past characterizations of our own dream cast. And now we review our karmic condition as a present state. You are seeing your karmic condition in your present life. So this parade of people and circumstances and appearing events has this time come to be seen aright. This time it's come into your awareness to be seen in truth and to be released by your present awareness. We have been emphasizing in the last several seminars about how awareness of something itself is the dissolution of the illusion. Awareness dissolves the illusion. That's why you just have to stay present in observation mode and discern what's really going on. Is it true? Is it false? Is it ego? Is it reality? Is it illusion and deception? Is it clear-mindedness? And as you see it clearly for what it is, without elaboration, without judging, without making anything out of it, you dissolve it. And with it, the karmic timeline, so that you release the karma of it also. So, only awakened awareness will set us free, and will set us all free. Because when one awakens, everyone awakens. Now, everyone is affected by the one that stands in awakened awareness. And while they may be very, very attached, these different embodiments to different sets of karmic conditions, the load is lightened and time is saved each time a person dares to realize the truth. So awakened awareness dissolves the dream. And all these conjured images from our past. The question is, now the knock at the door. It comes, and the question is, will we see the self, the beloved, or another? Say the phone rings. Will we remember this time that it is but ourselves that we are speaking to? This time, will we be able to maintain awareness and stay awake and present? So this is a genuine spiritual practice, this experiencing of awareness, this staying awake, alert, relaxed, but ever vigilant for the beloved, the only one who has ever been here and who is present now, this instant. It is the beloved who is hearing this and listening just now. So what has been reflected in the mirrors of your life? Are you aware you are seeing some aspect of yourself? That which was within your own consciousness? Be aware of what you are noticing in others and how you are engaging in your daily life. Ask yourself, what is this revealing to me about myself? What is this revealing to me about myself? Or, what has this come to teach me? very good approach to your life. What has this come to teach me? So you see how everything you need to be aware of in order to liberate yourself is presented by your daily life? You don't have to go off to the Himalayas. Everything you need is present right now in your daily life. Your life is your spiritual practice when you exercise vigilant awareness. Your home is your ashram. Your job is your gymnasium where you strengthen your spiritual muscles. And your progress is measured by your inner equanimity and composure in the presence of provocation. We have lots of occasions where we could be provoked. So that's where you can measure your progress, because as you progress in awareness, you'll notice that the things that used to get your goat and really set you off years ago, you don't even notice them anymore. It's just those muscles atrophy and weaken of irritation and anger and ego retorts and all of the stuff that we do when we're defending against the truth of our immortal love. Yeah, all negativity is a defense against the love that you truly are. Bottom line, you're just play-acting a false self because you're unwilling to take the responsibility for being unconditional love. Yeah, it takes a tremendously powerful being, a tremendous courage to be loving in the face of provocation and all the other stronger words I could use here to define the experience of many people, which again is, they're the mirrors that show you you have an issue here that you need to bring to peace. You need to rock it in the arms of your compassion and dissolve it in the light of your awareness. So don't run from the provocation, but watch yourself as you develop your spiritual strength, how your tolerance, your composure, your equanimity, your sense of peace, your unruffled presence, how steady it becomes. So other mirrors would be your nationality, your culture, religion, your role in life. And these are like a series of mirrors, like a hall of mirrors, showing you where you've been and what you need to learn right now. These, again, are classrooms of perspective that you need to look through the eyes of your soul, or the eye of your soul, the inner ear if you're hearing, and walk with a traveler in the middle way, home to God, through this labyrinth of mind. So just begin to look at each person and circumstance in your life in this way, as a mirror that is showing you who and what you've been before and where you are right now. You can use this as a contemplative experience and journal. Journal your insights. Decode your own mystery. But don't stop there, for you are continually changing every nanosecond. In the psychic and lower material realms, you're constantly changing because you're working through a mind stream that's constantly changing. So you're different each second, each nanosecond. Each morning you are born anew, and the images in the mirrored reflections will reflect these changes as your awareness develops. It's only steady when you've realized God. And then all you see is God. So as your awareness increases, you'll realize the inherent oneness of all life more and more. At some point, everywhere you look, you will see yourself. And though the states of consciousness change in the lower realms, within the clarity of the pure divine state of awareness, you are omnipresent. That means you're everywhere, in everything, as everything. And it is that which remains when all sense of separation dissolves into the limitless light of pure beingness. And that's where you are right now. And the awareness of one's changeless essence gives the experience of fearlessness. You'll no longer fear death, for you've truly entered life. And from this sense of fearlessness, this unshakable confidence in the self emerges. And confidence in one's changeless self is the very foundation for self-realization. So that's the only thing to be done now, as we see so much occurring in the mirror of the outer world. It but reflects the rapid transition that we're going through in consciousness as we rearrange the mirror to reflect the face of the Christ, the Beloved, the Anointed One. Until that's all we see, the compassionate Lord, which is ourself, the very face of grace. Let's go out chanting on I, Hugh. Take a deep breath. On I, Hugh. All the beings in all the worlds and all the reflections in all the mirrors reflect the one Beloved, the one love that is a reality beyond all of the apparent dream figures in time and space. Blessings and grace be to each one of you. Baruch Hashem Adonai.